There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
The online world can be both a safe haven and a nasty place. Creators can make a living, people can find entertainment, and even a place where they belong. But there lurks a darker side of the internet that can be much more than people imagine. In today's case, Bianca Devins was a budding creator online when things ended up taking a turn for the worse, when a jealous friend was unsuccessful in making their relationship become much more than just friendship. My name's Ben.
And I'm Nicole, and you're listening to Wicked and Grim,
a true crime podcast.
So we welcomed some new additions to the fam this week.
We did. We currently have four little baby sleeping chicks in our loft of our tiny home right now.
Well, we're hoping that they're going to be sleeping for the entirety of this podcast.
Yeah, no kidding. If they end up having to make noise whenever we're trying to record, we're going to have to find a solution. But yeah. For now, they're quiet. They're sleeping. They're adorable.
Oh my gosh. Well, this is the second night we're having them. And last night they slept all through the night.
Yeah.
Which was unexpected.
It was, but I mean, they're babies. They will sleep, generally speaking. So yeah, our chicken flock officially is now up to 12 with these four new chicks. So chicken math. Yay. If you know, you know. If you don't, chickens, there's chicken math involved.
They are seriously the cutest things though.
They are.
It is so distracting. I am up there numerous times a day.
I actually took one and put it on a finger skateboard today. Don't worry, it was completely safe. I just like kept it like standing there and put the chicken on top. It was amazing. Wasn't rolling around.
We'll progress with those skills. Just kidding.
Next step is a kickflip. But no, they're adorable. They're awesome. We even put up a YouTube video if you want to check it out. Links down below. But chickens aside, we also have patrons that are absolutely incredible that keep supporting this show. So we got a bunch of people to thank this week because we have Penny McKenzie, Joan Haney, Katie Chaston, Ted, Melissa Rule, Marcel Lopez, and Debatable Maple, who all joined us on Patreon this week. So thank you very much.
Those were some hard names, hey?
There was a couple ones that challenged me a little bit.
I like that.
Ted, you kept it simple. Simple, sweet. Love it. I also love Debatable Maple. That was, yep. I'm assuming, a Canadian.
They're all good.
You guys are amazing. Thank you so much for supporting the show. If you want to support the show, more than just even, you know, listening, link to Patreon's down below. It helps us amazingly. You can even give us a rating. Go and, you know, give us a 5-star, 4-star, whatever you seem appropriate. Give us a review. Helps the show. Or if you just want to listen, we got an awesome episode for you today.
Question before we start.
42.
Are you going to crack that beer?
Yes, but I was keeping it suspenseful this time. Okay. Now you just ruined the suspense.
Well, I'm just watching it.
Here we go.
Ooh. I honestly thought you forgot. Which, you know what? Actually,
what?
Yeah, that was stupid. You would never forget.
No, I wouldn't. I was creating suspense this time.
Okay.
I was going to find a good moment
People
here.
People are like, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen?
Exactly. There was going to be the perfect moment right before I start that I was going to open it. But you just gave it away.
I did. I ruined it.
Wow. As the Red Hot Chili Peppers once said, give it away, give it away, give it away now. Mm-hmm. Sorry, that was terrible.
No, it's okay. But let's get to the true crime, shall we?
Okay. Let's get to the true crime now.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. Oh, wow.
I don't think I could say that as fast as give it away now, though.
But that was pretty good.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Well, this one kind of mirrors the last episode that we did regarding a murder and online, because there was much of online involved with this one. Last time we debunked it, saying that, you know, the online portion didn't so much happen. This one, the online portion definitely happened.
Right on.
Okay. No, not right on.
Well, I'm very glad the last one didn't happen, because that was
something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, this one involves a young woman by the name of Bianca Michelle Devins. So Bianca was born on October 2nd, 2001. She was a 17-year-old teenager at the time from Utica, New York, in the United States of America. So Bianca had just recently graduated from high school, and like many people her age, she was just beginning to take on the world as an independent person all on her own. You know, coming of age, finding out who you are, what you want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, we've all been there.
It's kind of an exciting time, actually.
It's also very scary.
Scary and exciting, yes. And very mixed emotions.
Yes, especially when you're first taking on the world and it's like, I hate to say it, but the world kind of smacks you upside the head and you get a reality check on like, it's not as easy as you think it's going to be.
That's for sure.
Totally sucks, but I mean, that kind of happens. Hopefully anyone out there, if you haven't hit that point yet, hopefully it is easy for you, but a lot of people do struggle because the world hits you hard.
It happens to the best of us.
Yeah. But as such, she was set to attend Mohawk Valley Community College in the fall to begin her studies in the field of psychology. Now, it was a subject that was rather near and dear to Bianca's heart. You see, Bianca had struggled with mental illness in her life for quite some time. She'd previously been diagnosed with depression, anxiety, borderline personality disorder, and even post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD. She, quote, had been in and out of the hospital receiving mental health treatment for much of her teen years.
Oh, that's too bad. That's hard.
It is really hard. So I feel for her. But also at the same point, it's like, that's incredible that she's dealing with these sort of things and then strives to go into psychology. It's like she's tackling her demons head on, which is so amazing.
Oh, yeah. And using it to motivate her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So good on her for that. But regardless of her struggles, Bianca was also described as a kind and thoughtful person who often proactively helped other people throughout her life. She was always willing to offer good advice. If you're trying to work through something, or even just be someone who would sit and listen if that's what you needed. She was kind, sweet, and a talented artist who had aspirations to become a model.
Wow, she sounds wonderful.
Yeah, no kidding. Everything that I've read about her, she's just this like super kind, super sweet individual.
Oh my gosh, we just need so many more people like that.
We do.
This world.
Unfortunately, the world is lacking in that department.
Yes.
Which kind of sucks, but like you say, we need much more of it. Mm-hmm. Now, Kimberly, Bianca's mom, gave birth to Bianca when she was a teenager just herself. And in many ways, the two of them kind of like grew up together, if that makes any sense. So there was Bianca, Olivia, who is Bianca's younger sister, and Kimberly, their mother. So all three of them were very close, and they not only considered each other family, but best friends too.
Oh my goodness. That, I love that.
Right.
So it's love that.
A tight knit, little family they got going on. Now, Kimberly's mother even had this to say about her daughter, Bianca, quote, "She was a beautiful person, stronger than I could ever be."
Wow, really?
Yes, that's what Kimberly said about her daughter, Bianca.
Oh my gosh, okay.
Yeah, if you're going to have your heart melt, that's probably a moment when it's going to happen.
Yep.
So for Bianca, though, the real world was not her favorite place. She found solace on the internet, and online was a way to escape the real world, and social media became her refuge. On the internet, it's an easy place where you can find like-minded people who can relate to you. There are endless memes and videos to distract you from your struggles in the real world. You know, it's a place where you have control and have the ability to leave an unsafe place, for example, or explore deeper and learn something new. It's a place where she could escape, and soon she developed her online persona as an e-girl. So an e-girl, this is a term that's derived from electronic girl or electronic boy. It's a conjunction word that people have adapted due to their association with the internet and their online presence.
Okay.
So it's like, if I were an e-boy, it's because like, hey, you know, I'm always on Instagram or I'm a gamer. And it's like you kind of adapt this personality and it kind of like goes with like your clothes and, you know, you adapt this style to go along with it.
I've never heard of that before.
No?
No.
Really?
You had prior to?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, okay.
It kind of started gaining popularity, I believe, in about like 2019 with TikTok and the rise of TikTok.
Mm, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. Now, Instagram was one of Bianca's favorite platforms to frequent. And over her time using her account on the platform, she accumulated more than 70,000 followers on Instagram, which is no easy feat.
So
good on her for achieving that.
Wow.
Yeah. No
what
kidding.
Was her content? Are you going to say?
I mean, like based around the e-girl sort of stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So and she, like she liked her modeling stuff and I tried to look up the account. I'm not sure if I found the real account. Or if it was a mock account.
Okay.
But the one I found only had about 9 photos on it now.
Okay.
So I'm assuming a lot of it has been taken down if that was the real account. But
right.
Regardless, though, her online persona of an e-girl was flourishing. And this app is where she would actually eventually meet 21-year-old Brandon Clark on April of 2019. So at the time, Bianca was 17 and her friend Brandon was 21.
Okay.
Through the platform, the two would begin talking and building a relationship together, one that Bianca made very clear to her mother that was a platonic one. She made it very clear to Brandon that they were just friends. She wasn't looking for anything else. It was just friends and nothing more.
Mm-hmm. It's wild, actually, though, how you can have conversations with people and you're like friends, right? But you've never physically met them.
Oh, definitely.
It's really cool.
I've got friends around the world that I've talked to online very frequently and I've never met them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually made friends online that I then met in real life. And it's like, we're super good friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like you have spent time in person.
Oh, exactly.
It's very interesting to describe.
It seems like it's very much so easier to develop a relationship online than it is in the real world. And I think it comes down to two things. One, you are much more able to find someone to relate to online because you're in like-minded communities, for example.
Yep.
So you find someone that you kind of click with in a like-minded community. Then second, you have that protection of your computer screen or your phone screen or something, right? So it's much easier to open up because it's like, I don't know, it's not really real at that point. So you can just kind of let loose.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the time when you meet in the real world, you've already gone through this process of learning who each other are. And it's like, you click instantly
because
you just know each other now.
Yeah. You know, the good, the bad, you know,
exactly.
All that.
Yeah. So as such, the two friends, you know, Brandon and Bianca, they hung out quite a bit and Brandon became, as described by Bianca's sister, a trusted family friend. Despite this, there was some speculation that there may have been a bit more to the relationship than anyone knew. So with a friend of Bianca's believing Brandon supplied her with some drugs at times to entice her to spend time with him.
Hmm. Okay.
Whether this is true or not, it's unclear. And anything that's been brought forward in this regard has been purely speculation at this point.
Okay. Good to know. Good that that's noted.
Yes. However, with Brandon's personality that we will find a little bit later on, I wouldn't put it past him to at least attempt that.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, I'll just wait. I was going to be like, what kind of drugs are we talking about here? I
don't know.
Okay.
Don't know. Could have just been weed or I have no clue. Yeah. As I said, it is just purely speculation. And all I ever found was, quote, drugs.
Drugs.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been freaking cough syrup. It could have been like, hey, you need an ibuprofen.
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. I'll hook you up. Who knows?
Good old Advil, hey?
How many milligrams you need. But regardless of that speculation, the fact remains they were friends, nothing more, at least as far as Bianca knew. Dun, dun, dun.
Okay. I know. This is just going to go south in a terrible way, I have a feeling. Well, I mean, we're talking about
it's a true crime podcast.
Sometimes I'm just like, I have little stories in my head where it doesn't end bad. And it's kind of nice.
You're trying to rewrite it as you go?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I feel you. Unfortunately, though, in this case, we're going to talk about what really happened.
Okay.
So it will be 2 months after the first, or after the two had first met in the real world, on July 13th, 2019, that both Bianca and Brandon were headed to a concert together. They were going to see a Canadian singer, Nicole Dahlganger, in New York City. So they drove quite a ways to go see it, which is about 4 hours away. It was here at the concert that they met up with a mutual friend named Alex. During the show, Bianca and Alex allegedly were close and even started hitting it off and shared a kiss together.
Ooh la la.
Ooh la la. But it was something that did not exactly sit well with Brandon.
Okay, because he liked her.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
See, although Bianca had made it very clear that she didn't want to be romantically involved with Brandon, he clearly hoped that she would change her mind, or maybe that he could get in there and, you know, change the situation a little bit. And then when he witnessed Bianca kissing Alex, his jealousy would take over.
That's tough. He was sort of just giving it time. He wasn't taking, you know, that she wanted to just be friends as the end.
Yeah. He was hoping, you know, it could develop into something else. And I mean, sometimes it does.
Sometimes, yeah.
But regardless of if it does or does not develop, you need to respect if someone says no.
Mm-hmm.
If they're right now just being friends and he's hoping it develops into more, there's nothing wrong with that. But if she goes off and is now with Alex, he needs to be okay with that too.
Yeah. It sounds like she's very honest.
Yeah. So following the concert, Bianca and Brandon hopped into his car and began their 4-hour drive back to Utica. On this trip, the two began talking and arguing about the kiss that Bianca shared with Alex. Things were getting worse and worse and heated, and eventually it ended up with them kind of quieting down and not really talking a whole lot to one another.
It's an awkward drive.
Yeah, I'm sure it would have been quite the awkward drive. And Bianca clearly probably just wanted to get home at this point. So as she waited for her arrival at her destination, she began drifting off to sleep. At this time, it was quite late. Like, they made the 4-hour trip to the concert, which I'm sure probably started at like 7, 8, 9 o'clock, went a few hours. Now they got another long drive back home. So it's in the wee hours of the morning. And she began drifting off to sleep. And it would be then that Brandon would strike. Brandon turned his car into a dead-end road that was not too far from where Bianca lived. And this is where they were, isolated. He put his car in park. He set up his camera, hit record, and reached down beside his seat and retrieved a large black-handled knife he had stashed away. Then, in this instant, in the early morning hours of July 14th, 2019, Brandon attacked the sleeping Bianca and began, quote, sawing at her throat with the knife.
Oh, gosh.
Police described it as sawing.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Bianca woke up when the attack began, but unfortunately would quickly succumb to her wounds from the assault. Brandon now took over Bianca's lifeless body with her head now nearly decapitated. He left her sitting in the car while he exited and built a bonfire while listening to the song Test Drive by Joji on repeat. He then took to social media. He started on Instagram stories, where at 6:40 a.m. on July 14th, he posted a still frame photo from the movie Fight Club, then posting a photo after that from behind the wheel of his car looking at the nighttime road with the words, "Here comes hell, it's redemption, right?" which are song lyrics from a band called Hollywood Undead. From there, it only escalates. His next post would be a picture of Bianca's lifeless body, now removed from the car, laying underneath a green tarp. But you can clearly see the outline of a person underneath. His bloody hand in the picture with a caption, quote, "I'm sorry, Bianca."
Holy shit.
Yeah.
You gotta be fucking me.
Oh, it gets worse. After these images being posted, Brandon then took to another popular app called Discord. In a group chat with several other individuals, including members of Bianca's family, Brandon posted a picture of Bianca's deceased body, where you could see very clearly her face and lifeless eyes, along with the words, quote, "Sorry, fuckers, you're going to have to find somebody else to orbit." So to clarify, Orbiting is apparently when people follow an online individual idolizing said person, like a creator or an influencer. It's kind of like a term, simping, if that means anything to you.
Jeez. This is, okay, you said she'd, I can't even speak. There was family in this Discord chat?
Correct.
And this is going to be how they're finding out that she has died?
Correct. This is how the family found out she died, via photo sent by Brandon.
What the fuck is wrong with him? Was he on drugs?
No.
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 Okay.
Sober.
That is so just... Yeah.
You good, bro?
No.
Well, I can understand why.
Like, she literally thought that she was with a friend and in a safe place.
Yeah, and that was the exact opposite.
Wow. My gosh.
He very quickly did not hesitate to take her life because she didn't want to be with him. She kissed some other dude.
It was only because she kissed someone else. Like, yeah. That is... Oh.
So Brandon reportedly also called numerous of his family members and then reportedly alleged or resembled a suicide note / goodbye on said phones, which prompted family to call 911. They weren't the only ones to call, though. People online who had now seen the photos, which were posted, you know, Instagram and Discord, had begun dialing 911. Most of them not sure if this is real or fake or what the hell. Mm-hmm. So they called in. And so did Brandon himself. His call went as such, quote, "My name is Brandon. The victim is Bianca Michelle Devins. I'm not going to stay on the phone for long because I still need to do the suicide part of the murder-suicide."
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I was just about to... Okay. This one you didn't warn me about at all.
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't. You really didn't. Okay. And that's the call? And then he just hangs up the fucking phone?
I'm not sure if that's the only thing that was said, but that is the majority of what he said, yes.
Gosh.
That's the only insert from the call that I could find and locate.
You have to be kidding me. This has me so uncomfortable.
It's a fucked up one. Now, the police, of course, immediately took these 911 calls very seriously, and they immediately went to Bianca's home to make contact with Bianca's family to see if they can get a hold of her. You know, again, they thought it was fake, potentially.
Well, yeah. Who would have done something like this for real?
Right.
Can I just go back to the sawing thing?
Sure.
So basically, he's sawing her, and she, like, wakes up from being asleep, and it's just too late. Like, basically to even, like, help herself.
Yes. I don't know if she, like, woke up to the act of him cutting her throat or woke up to him, like, attacking her and, like, getting on top of her. But she could not defend herself. He had a knife and he went right for her throat and it was far too late.
Mm-hmm. Jeez. Okay.
Yeah. So the family had, at this point, before the police arrived, already seen the photos. Hoping it was fake too.
Yes.
No one could get a hold of Bianca. Her mother was just unable to reach. And in that moment, officers knew that when they reached the scene where Brandon told them they were, they would be finding something absolutely horrific.
Mm-hmm.
And they were right. As the police arrived, Brandon took the knife he had used to murder Bianca and turned it on himself. He then slit the left side of his own neck and threw the knife in his car and laid back onto the green tarp that was covering Bianca's body. Immediately, he began taking selfies on his phone with his neck bleeding out and posting one of the photos to Snapchat. In the photo, he's showing off his neck, which is now bleeding onto his blood-saturated shirt with the caption, quote, "Ashes to ashes." Law enforcement body camera footage shows officers approaching with guns drawn, talking to Brandon, who tells them where the knife is and that Bianca is under the tarp. A suicide note and message were found at the scene, and the body cam footage even shows the spray-painted message that was left on the road. And it read, quote, "May you never forget me." And I just want to say this, Brandon, I hope the whole fucking world forgets you.
No shit.
Yeah. So he was quickly arrested and was rushed to hospital, where he received emergency surgery for his self-inflicted wounds to his neck. He survived. And the following day, he was officially charged with second-degree murder of Bianca Devins.
So he didn't go on this trip intending that that was going to happen. But I guess because she was...
Well,
with another guy, kind of kissing another guy.
There is the possibility that it could have been a premeditation, because he had the knife stashed away.
Right. He fucking did.
He had the knife stashed away and ready. And now police are suggesting potentially because he had recording equipment available. But I believe the video that he recorded while killing her was on his phone, because he did record the entire attack with him, because I said the police described a sawing action.
Yep.
They watched the video of him slicing her throat.
No one should have to watch that. And when you went to go about describing, you were like, grabbed his phone. This, okay, I just, like, he just cannot be in his right mind. This is some of the most bizarre shit that I've ever heard, and also not at the same time, because of just the day and age that we live in, where social media and like our phones and documenting everything is just so forefront in all of our minds.
Yeah, it's just run rampant and taken over many people. And clearly something like this has taken over Brandon's life.
Yeah, where it's probably just almost felt natural for him to just be posting what the fuck he was doing.
Yeah. Now, there are many investigators, such as Police Sergeant Michael Curley, who actually believe Brandon was searching social media fame himself and wanting to post this, and also his message, you know, that he wrote in spray paint, "May you never forget me." Mm-hmm. So he may be looking at, you know, Bianca's success on Instagram, having all these followers, and maybe he wanted to achieve that too. And now that he's angry with her, he's going to achieve what she did by killing her and posting it too.
Yeah.
So there's that whole other layer there too, that he's wanting to achieve this stardom, this fame, "May you never forget me" sort of fucking attitude by killing her.
Yeah, it almost seemed like he was just obsessed with her in numerous ways, really.
Oh, he was.
Yeah.
Through and through, for sure.
But rightfully so, because it sounds like she was amazing.
Yeah. So back to that potential premeditation part, though, there was also evidence that would be found through Brandon's search history showing that he made online searches on how to locate the carotid artery, which is the artery that runs through a person's neck and feeds blood flow to your brain. You pointed at
it. Well, I'm just like, that definitely is kind of a premeditation then, for sure.
Yep. He also searched how to incapacitate or kill someone, and other general searches for choking and hanging.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I can say my search history is pretty fucked, but I definitely don't have stuff like that on there.
Well, I mean, you and I host a true crime podcast, so I think if there's any investigators, we could probably be like, look at our podcast. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure those searches are going to be related to many of these things.
My search history is so all over the place, because I have like true crime, celebrities, hockey. Like, I feel like it's just
chickens.
Like, people would be like, who is this chick? What is she actually interested in?
Well, that's like me and my personal Instagram page. It's like, I've got huskies, I've got mountain biking, I've got tiny home stuff. And then it's like just sprinkled in with like a little bit, a few other things just randomly in there.
I mean, I feel like having diverse interests is good. I kind of strive for that, actually. That's
fair enough. It's not a bad thing by any means. Mm-hmm. I'm just sure it confuses the hell out of the algorithm. But anyways, we digress. So in court on July 29th, 2019, Brandon would plead not guilty to second degree murder.
You don't say.
He was later charged with promoting prison contraband as well, after officers had found a shiv in his possession, like in his cell, constructed out of a sharpened toothbrush.
Brutal.
He had allegedly also written a letter to a friend that was found in his cell as well, where he bragged about knowing what it felt like to kill someone. And the letter also actually explained his motive for the murder as well.
Okay, and what was it?
So to quote it, it read, "He couldn't handle the thought of her walking out of his life."
What a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Okay. The fact that he's already planning shit in prison too is just so alarming.
I know. It's totally fucked. He enjoyed the shit out of it and he wants that glory for being a murderer.
Yeah, I kind of feel like it could, if he doesn't remain in jail, there could be more.
Yeah. Which, I'm going to say this. He clearly has that glory for being a murderer at this point. He does. Mm-hmm. It's undeniable.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the worst fucking fame you could ever have.
Oh my gosh.
You're famous for all the wrong reasons. Not a soul in this fucking planet likes you.
No, you're not respected whatsoever.
No. I wonder if he even has visitors, honestly.
Well, I mean, maybe his family, but just because they kind of feel obligated, right?
Yeah, well, because they're family. Who knows?
Yeah.
But anyways, on February 10th of 2020, Brandon changed his plea to guilty. And on June 2nd, tried to change his plea back to not guilty, but was rejected as he had already admitted his guilt in various different ways. Like he had talked to officers and all this sort of stuff. And he's like, oh yeah, I'm guilty. And there's the video. Like it was just, they're just like, no, you're not changing your fucking plea.
Wow.
So on March 16th, 2021, Brandon Clark was sentenced to 25 years to life in prison.
Okay. I mean, that's probably the maximum, but gosh, yeah. He was so young though that it has to be more than 25 years.
I sure fucking hope it is. Now, since her daughter's death, Kimberly Devins was also dealing with an onslaught of graphic images of her daughter for years. And I'm pretty sure still is to this day. Many cruel people on the internet still circulate the images and have even sent them to Bianca's family members out of sick and twisted humor.
Seriously?
Yes.
You're kidding me. Why?
Many of those people who are, quote, orbiters that Brandon was talking about find someone else to orbit now, or also these, quote, incels is another term for many of these type people who just thrive in this. Like these incels are people that like, they're guys who can't attract women in the real world, but then they orbit these women on social media platforms. And then it's like when they get rejected, they just like hate on them, like that sort of thing. And these sort of sick fucks are the ones that are doing this.
There's no excuse for anyone to be sending anything like that to anyone or the family. Like what kind of unbelievably disgusting piece of scum are you?
I know. Bianca's younger sister, Olivia, actually couldn't even face logging into any social media platforms for over a year because she had this fear of like seeing more photos that she could possibly come across of her sister's brutal fucking murder online.
Wow. That is so beyond sad.
Yeah. So Kimberly originally thought Brandon Clark was a quiet, nice man, but now she realizes who he truly was and being a part of this whole incel community online. So to quote her, there's definitely this toxic masculinity where they believe they're entitled to women. And I really think Bianca stood for everything they hated. She was a strong woman. And I mean, even the motive behind her murder is, if I can't have you, no one can. In the wake of the tragedy, the family and online supporters advocated for change that would prevent people from sharing violent or harmful footage on social media. On September 21st, 2020, the introduction of Bianca's Law was put in place. And in January of 2022, the New York State passed the law which criminalizes posting, sharing, or publishing personal images with intent to degrade or abuse under certain circumstances.
Okay.
Bianca's family would also create a scholarship in Bianca's name for students pursuing psychology degrees. In July of 2021, Bianca's family had actually sued the Oneida County District Attorney's Office, for distribution of child pornography. So allegedly, they had learned from producers of a documentary on Bianca's story that they had received footage from the District Attorney's Office of of Bianca's death and of her having sex, along with other contents from her personal phone, which included nude photographs of Bianca.
What the fuck?
Bianca was 17 years old, which makes this distribution of child pornography. Allegedly, a YouTuber was also given access to this in response to the Freedom of Information Act. The lawsuit, however, has since been dismissed by courts, with the judge saying the state's open record laws could not be used to obtain child pornography from government agencies who prosecute offenders.
Okay, why on earth is anything from her phone being put out there? I don't think that's actually okay.
That's why there was this lawsuit, but there was a lot of like, there wasn't much said about this lawsuit once it was dismissed. Basically, the judge being like, yeah, with laws, you can't obtain that from the governing agencies like you're stating. But there's people saying
that they did.
That they did.
Oh, man, that.
I'm assuming the court is saying they must have received it somewhere else. You can't prove it. You got from the government.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course they are. But the fact that this family is already dealing with so much shit, but they're still going about like creating scholarships and just trying to remember her in the best of ways. But then they're also having to deal with this complete bullshit, really, that should never have been leaked or put out there at all.
Well, and those photos are still out there today. I saw many of the photos in my research. I am not going to tell you where or how to access them because I hope that they eventually get taken down and fade away and are never out there again.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the internet, once something's up there, though, it kind of is up there.
Yep.
Which is scary and disappointing and awful.
It really is. And it's scary to think how just putting yourself out there like that, like Bianca was doing and trusted, as you said, a friend, it just turned around and ended her own life.
Yeah. Wow. And she just like just ended this like beautiful soul. And who knows what she would have done with her life. I bet you she would have just done like some amazing things.
I honestly imagine that she would have continued with her Instagram and continued with her education. And I have a feeling she would have taken her knowledge of psychology and started putting it out there in form of content, helping people.
Mm-hmm.
That's
which would have been so amazing to have. Because
right?
Look at how many people need like just feel they're alone or would love to have help or guidance or someone to look up to.
And I think she would have been someone who would have guided a lot of people.
That's disappointing.
She had the audience. She had the people watching her.
Yeah.
And I think being the kind soul that she was, if she had the education, which she was going to get, she would have continued to help.
Because
at the very beginning, I said she was the kind of person who would offer advice or even just be someone to listen if you needed it.
Yeah.
So I know she would have done that.
Yeah. I also just can't stop thinking about the mom, too, when she would have saw these photos and just like, you know, would have just so hoped that they were fake.
Yeah.
But then couldn't get a hold of her daughter. I just can't even imagine that kind of feeling. For a mom.
I know. I'm honestly torn about the idea on the suicide portion of this. I mean, of course, I don't want anyone to fucking end their own life. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes people deserve things. Brandon deserves to be fucking shit on in life. I'm kind of glad he did survive so he can be fucking locked away. Mm-hmm. He can fucking rot and he can know that the world fucking hates him. Because if he did end his life, he would have got his way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad he didn't get his way, at least in that aspect.
Yeah, but now I just feel like he's going to be, not that I like would wanted him to have died either, but like he's just going to be in prison causing issues.
Yeah, touche.
Right? He's already has a freaking toothbrush made into a knife of sorts.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, there's a flip side to everything, that's for sure.
But maybe that'll just make him be in there for longer, right? Which is definitely not a bad thing.
Yeah. So that's the story of Bianca Devins. And I'm not even going to repeat the dude's name again because I do hope we all forget him.
Well, I honestly cannot fucking remember his name.
Good. Good. Don't. He's a piece of shit. He's a douche canoe.
Yeah.
We don't like him.
That's
he can fuck off.
That's all we need to know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. I mean, it's hard to enjoy stories like this mm-hmm. at times, but we appreciate you being here nonetheless. If you want to check out any of our links, they're all in the description of the podcast. We have website, Instagram, Facebook, all the social media platforms where we don't want anyone to start getting weird on us and potentially wanting to, you know, do this situation, but you can just go follow us and support us. That'd be cool.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Wow. Okay. I don't even know how to finish that all.
Neither do I. We just covered a case where a creator was attacked. And we're creators. We don't want you to attack us, but you can go ahead and support us. That would be cool.
That would be amazing.
That would be amazing.
Well done on this.
Thank you.
I just have one follow-up question. Is this like a pretty well-known case? Because I have not heard of it.
Yes, this is a relatively well-known case. Huh. Yeah. And it's fairly recent, only the last few years.
Well, yeah, too, right? That's why I'm like, I'm surprised that I never heard of anything in the news about it anything.
The reason why this one is quite well known is because, well, the murder pictures were posted online. Mm-hmm. So,
well, and she also had like quite a bit of a following and stuff too.
Exactly.
So. Okay. Well done.
Thank you. Should I say it?
I don't know. What do you want to say?
That you're doing next week's episode. I just said it, so it's happening now.
Wow, you just decided to do that just to set me up, eh?
You were supposed to do this.
I know. I've been shit in the bed. There's been a lot on the go.
There has been. So I can't blame you. Your photography has been doing incredible, and you've been stupid busy with that. So you do your thing. You're still here. I'll just keep pumping out episodes. The goal
is for me to have it done next week, and it will most definitely 99% probably be a two-parter.
Okay. Well, there's a chance that I'm doing the next week's episode. But if I am, Nicole is definitely doing the following week, but she's probably doing this next episode.
AKA, you know what? Just tune in and we'll surprise you.
She's doing an episode soon. Don't hold your breath on when. How's that?
Oh my gosh, it makes me sound terrible. Anyway, thanks for being here. And either way, we'll see you next week.
Yeah. And until then. I was pointing at you first. You say.
Well, I set you up to say it, and then you just stay wicked.
There we go.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.